Okay, this is Monday, May 23rd, and the topic tonight is questions and answers.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all at once is an opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I. It is the purpose of this teaching to make us aware of this essential truth of our being. And I hope everyone is learning that. I hope everyone is remembering that they're a god or a goddess, and that you're connected to everything in the universe. Everything. And all, everything has a vibration. And wonderful vibrations we can pick up, especially from nature. It's just a wonderful vibration out there with nature. And that's all God. That's all that is God. So, now I'll open it. Does anyone have a question or an answer or a story to tell or anything good?
Have you, Mr. John?
No. Are you being able to, Andy and Paul and John? Able to see your mind movements now, the movements of your mind? And you can become a witness to that, and you realize that you're just a witness, that what's going on in front of you is just a movie?
Well, I'm trying to put my illness in
perspective.
With
illness, first of all, there should be no illness.
Oh, my past illness.
But we do. We fall for it. Mm-hmm. And why we fall for it is beyond me. Because it's not in the mind of God illness. It's in race mind. And because we're bombarded from outside all the time telling us, you know, what we're going to come down with and all this. Pharmaceutical companies love to do that because they make tons of money from those things. I just read an article where for some AIDS drug that they came out with, $1,500, and it's I think they said $18,000 a year for people to be able to take that pill. So there's a lot of money involved. But what I want people to realize, especially you had nothing to do with it. You came down with something. You cannot punish yourself and say, why did this happen to me? You say, well, this happened. I am victorious, and I will overcome this. Don't fall for it. If you fall for it, it makes it worse. You say, does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Do not fall for it. And people want you to fall for it. They, you know, are you all right, Paula? How are you feeling? What's going on? Oh, it's a shame and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, don't listen to any of that. Mm-hmm. Know that God is in you, working to make you whole and complete and perfect.
Well, I've had several people come up to me and offer their services, of course, for a price. They all have electronic things or some gimmick or gadget that's going to help me heal. And of course I'm very polite.
Yes, thank you very much. Yeah. And then go on. Your mind will heal you.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts will heal you. You're not mean. Some people, when they get disease, they get very upset and angry and mm-hmm. so forth. They go, oh, well, anger won't help you at all. Forgive will help. Well, and know perfectly well that you have the best people working for you, the best things are going on, and visualize inside of you all your cells being healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And tell them, come on, let's get healthy here. Let's do this. Let's all work together. And they will work together for you. So,
thank you.
Yeah. But because we give up when we get a disease and so forth, and we think, oh, that's the end of us, you know, and it's not the end of you. You know, first of all, you can never come to an end. There is no such thing as an end. And we think there is, but there isn't.
Well, I'm not thinking it's the end. I'm not there.
Yeah, good. Just and you're not buying into it, you see. That people buy into their disease and they get impressed with area and they get impressed with the disease. And that disease has no power over you. No power. It's questions and answers. I know you brought a question.
Yes.
Good. Hi.
How are you?
Good.
I just haven't thought of it yet.
Oh, okay. It'll work. How about you, Andy? You always have wonderful questions, and you're always thinking.
Do you have a affirmation for abundance?
For what?
For abundance, yeah, absolutely. Always the same one. Money is always freely circulating in my life, and I always have a divine surplus.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. And then you see that, you know. After you make that statement, then you have to see. Somebody gives you a dollar, you find a penny, whatever. That's all money coming to you. And you have to know that it can come to you.
Money is always freely circulating in my life, and I always have a divine supply.
Surplus.
Surplus. Of it.
I gave you those years ago.
I'm asking questions.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying that we've had them for years. Keep using. I use it every day.
Sometimes I need reminded 2 or 3 times about things. 400 or 500. That's why I keep going back.
I do the same thing because we forget this stuff so quickly. The world is entirely too convincing, and so is our own mind, you know.
Okay, my next question is about us as beings, and like separation between us and God. Like there is no separation, but like because we are in this illusion of physical reality, it creates this feeling,
yes,
sometimes of separation.
It does.
How can we rise above that?
Well, you have to remind yourself constantly that that is not true. You are separate. You are connected to everything in the universe. When you go take a walk, do you talk to the trees and so forth and say thank you?
I usually tell them to get out of my way if they don't move.
Particularly when I'm driving through the canyon and looking at all the beautiful nature. It's
yes.
Just incredible.
Mm-hmm. Life is out there, and God is out there, God is in here, God is everywhere.
So the other day, I heard this girl at this restaurant tell this guy who was leaving for the day, she said, make good choices, and I thought that was really cute.
That is.
And I was thinking about, like, you know, what makes it for a good choice? What makes, like, metaphysically, what makes a good choice?
That I am one with God, that's a choice. Every thought you think is a choice that you're thinking. It all boils down to that statement, which I use all the time, and I don't get it sometimes myself. Learn to think the thought that you want to think. And we don't. But I stop myself now when I'm having my mind straight. I said, stop, I don't want to hear that. We've gone there. Something new, please.
So I have a question. There was a you used to say, and you still do, that like if you find yourself in a mess, just step out of it.
Yes.
But what if it's a situation where like there's like a physical attachment to it, like say like you know the body becomes run down, or there's a physical ailment. Like how do we step out of that situation when we're still lugging with us perhaps some physical effect of it?
Choose not to lug it with you.
And how do you do that?
Just say, I'm not taking this with me. I'm not taking it. I'm not carrying stuff that I do not need.
with illness. You do that with illness.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't need that. It's only temporary.
Mm-hmm.
Temporary stuff happens to us.
One of the things that I've come to learn from you regarding metaphysics is that you should do things in an inspired way, and which is sort of the opposite of effort, an effort that's uninspired.
Effortless.
Right, effortless. Yet there seems to be a lot of effort in the world and the opportunity to do a lot of effort or efforting.
Yes, but you must remember that you're in this world. You're not of this world. And the rest of the people out there think that they have to effort to get everything. And you do not. You must. Most people are pushing the river.
Most people are pushing the river?
Pushing the river. You cannot push the river. You must let it take you. But most people want to fight it and push it back. Oh, no, I'm not going to. Just float along with life. It'll take care of you. Life will take care of you. You don't believe that yet, but it will. You just have to keep reminding yourself of that, that life is taking care of me.
It seems to me like there are people in this world that are just filled with joy and fun.
Yes.
Like, and I've always sort of admired that about people. And I always try to aspire to have more fun. But like, I feel like I'll never quite approach the joy to be that they seem to just embody. Is there an affirmation? Is there a way to like tap into more fun?
Just keep trying. Keep trying with the joy and the happiness and all that. And you see that in some people. So when you see that, say, ah, they can do it, I can do it also. Yes. And learn to be happy and filled with joy, people. There's no other way to go through this life. All of the stuff that you see out there that the world tells you you have to go through, all that stuff, it's nonsense. It's absolute nonsense.
This next question may be on, maybe is probably beyond the scope of our actually knowing, but we talk about our physical reality here, mm-hmm. and then we talk about God, but this physical reality is part of that which is God.
Yes.
So, and we say things sometimes like, you know, there is no illness in the mind of God, yet illness exists within this reality, which is part of God. So, like, yeah, and we always talk about, and you also said, made comments at times about like, you know, God speaks or understands in thoughts and feelings and not necessarily much in like words.
Right.
But like, you know, words are part of this thing. So how this is going to come out right. How much does God pay attention to what goes on here? Like what?
Everything.
Yeah.
God is everywhere. Seeing and hearing and doing. How that happens, I have no idea. I have no idea. But in the Bible, it says God knows every hair on your head. See, this thing, it's so mysterious. God is a mystery. Mm. And we have to fall into that mystery.
Go ahead.
And all the questions cannot be answered.
No. And we don't have to answer them. I have so many things on the shelf I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
When I get enough knowledge, I take it down. But in the meantime, I just store it up there. Because nothing can destroy my faith. Nothing can destroy my faith.
That's pretty powerful.
What? Nothing can destroy me? Absolutely. You have to say that to yourself. Nothing can destroy my faith. I absolutely believe this. Now, do I believe it the way everyone else does? I don't know. Nor do I care. I don't look at God the way my parents did or my grandparents did, because that was all separation, and they personalized God and made God a superhuman, and God is not a superhuman. But they did that, and they still do it.
Mm-hmm. How much of our connection with this thing called God is intuition?
Oh, almost all of it. You have to intuit God, yes. You can read all that stuff and go to all those churches and everything, but you have to start something inside of your own self, using your faith and saying, I absolutely believe this, I absolutely want to believe this, and I'm absolutely going to believe this. Why? Because with me, it's the best thing that's ever come down the pike. For me, it's the best thing that ever came down the pike. If I wouldn't have fallen into this teaching, I wouldn't be here today. I would have made a transition a long time ago.
In some metaphysical teachings, they talk about like the vibration, or like how you're, the better you feel, the more attractive you are at attracting things you want. Like if you have a positive expectation, or if you're feeling joy, versus if you're like negative or doubtful or angry.
Yes.
Why is that? Why does...
Because everything in the universe is vibrating, and everything has a vibration to it. And if you want something, you have to match that vibration. So, if it's money or whatever, you have to figure out what that vibration is. And then match that vibration. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
Everything is vibrating. Everything is a vibration. So just ponder all those things and see the idea that I'm connected to that tree, I'm connected to that plant, I'm connected to the flowers that I grow. I love growing them. I'm connected to them.
Kindness has always been a big word for me.
Kindness is the best thing in the world.
That's what I think too. I'm glad we're all
kindness.
Kindness, yes.
Yes, if you can't do anything else in this world, learn to be kind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if people want to say, oh, you have to love and this, that, and the other thing, I'm not so sure about that. I think it's a wonderful idea, but who knows exactly what that means? You know what kindness is.
Mm-hmm.
But love takes on all kinds of forms, doesn't it?
Interesting.
So learn to be kind. If we were all kind, if everyone was kind to everyone in this world, can you imagine? It would be a completely different world, wouldn't it?
And when they say love your neighbor like yourself, they're basically talking about kindness, aren't they?
Yes.
What does kindness really mean, though?
Well, instead of me walking over and punching you in the face, I'm sitting here being kind to you. You know? Kindness, the lack of kindness, I think, means that people are mean.
Mm-hmm.
They're mean and mean-spirited and all the stuff that we don't want.
Can you sometimes be kind by being perceived as mean, you know?
Can you be kind on the inside and hateful on the outside?
Look, I have a friend that...
Again, it's not you, because you're the kindest person I know.
Yeah, but sometimes I feel like I'm being kind, and then I'm like, you know what, I'm not helping that person. You know, I'm just supporting the stuff that
they're going down the wrong road. Oh, you think you're enabling him?
I think I'm enabling
him. Well, then you have to look at the difference. Be kind, but don't enable people. But please, stay kind. And that kindness is a wonderful vibration, by the way. What do you think, how do you think Rose gets everything? I mean, has so many things and people are taking her here, there, and there. I mean, that woman is, because she's kind. She basically loves people. She's a kind person.
Yeah.
No one wants to be around somebody that's mean.
Mean, selfish, and hateful.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And people think that that's, they, you know, they cast themselves into those roles and they play it the rest of their life.
Right.
And they think that's who they are, and it's not who they are. Who are you? Does anyone know who you are?
What is our, so going down this idea of kindness, what is our responsibility with helping others? Like, for example, Los Angeles has a certain amount, a fairly large number of homeless people. Rarely a day goes by when I haven't seen or encountered a homeless person, and I try to be kind, but I'm not always able to help, and you know, like, how do you help? I mean, if other people are God, like, how do you help?
Well, first of all, you when you look at them, you cannot see a homeless person. You see, you cast them in a role. Oh, they're homeless. Now, that's not being kind. Being kind is to know that at this moment, they may not be living up to their potential, but that potential is in everybody to do. And about being kind to the poor, I've worked on that for years, thinking, well, they should have showers on the corners for them, you know, like old bathhouses and so forth. Now, that may happen, you know, they just have allotted $138 million to the homeless in Los Angeles. But the thing is that we all those people, and we don't, you know, they're choosing too. You have to know that they're choosing that. And you, when you get upset with the people on the street corner asking, by the end of the day, those people make hundreds of dollars. Hundreds of dollars begging. So it's an industry.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes an industry.
Sometimes you see the same people over and over again on the same corner. They get to know you too.
Oh yes, they do. Did I ever tell you the story? There used to be a homeless girl. I always thought she had no teeth. In West Hollywood, and I used to stop store, and when I'd come out, she was always there. And I'd always give her something. Then I went away, I guess, on vacation. I must have been gone 2 weeks. When she saw me, she came running. She had the biggest toothless smile. Where have you been? I have missed you. I mean, it just broke my heart, you know. I wasn't attached to her. I knew, you know, I gave her whatever money. And I haven't seen her. I think she probably froze to death or did something like that. But the thing is, she was just a beautiful human being. So that's another little trick that your mind does to you, making you feel that you're responsible for all those people out there. You're responsible for no one but yourself. You're responsible for keeping your mind in order. They have allowed their mind to go out of order.
When I see a mother and a child begging, it just breaks my heart.
Well, of course it breaks your heart. And they know that one too. Why do you think they bring a cat kid along?
Yeah.
So when you say keep your mind in order, what is that?
What does that mean? That means that God is taking care of those poor people. As Jesus said, the poor will always be among us. Not meaning physically poor, but in consciousness. They have poor consciousness, those people. So to ever get them out of the situation that they're in takes more than just throwing money at them or throwing food at them. It takes a, they need classes. They need to know how to do stuff, you know?
But beyond other people, when we're talking about, like, you know, proceeding with our lives and getting, you know, our things in order, like, how do we keep our mind in order for that? How do you order your mind to be the best metaphysically that you can be?
Well, you have to keep talking to it. You have to keep using it like you use a computer. Don't you learn something new? Or your phone. You have more apps and stuff on the phone. You have to know that you can do that to your mind. You can have all that stuff going for you in your mind.
You mean like positive affirmations?
Positive affirmations or looking at the people begging for food and realize, yes, I would like to help them. I don't have the money at the present moment to help them, but I knew that God is taking care of them because God is taking care of everything.
So would you say that it's generally easier for us to metaphysically help other people than to help ourselves?
Oh, it's always easier to help somebody else.
And that's useful.
That's useful, but learn to do it for yourself also. Sure, it's so much easier to give advice and stuff to other people.
There's this documentary I saw. I don't know if I brought this up. This was a while ago, but about this homeless guy, and they decided they're going to give $100,000 to a homeless person. So they presented it like they were just doing a documentary on homeless people, and they followed them around, and they found the one guy they were going to give $100,000 to, and they put it in a suitcase into the dumpster that he was goes to, and they followed him, you know, and he opened up the suitcase and closed it really quick, looked around and got really scared, and then they came and they said, hey, and they explained what they were doing, and he had really bad teeth. That's what made me think of this. And all he really wanted, he said, was to get his teeth fixed and then to get a girlfriend with the better teeth. And but within a year, he'd spent all the money, even as much as they tried. They felt really bad when he got down to like $50,000. They found his sister. They got him a financial advisor. And within a year, it was all gone. And the saddest part is he never fixed his teeth. Never fixed his teeth.
No.
And it was so, like, you know, he just had
that mindset. And yes, and that's what happens with people who win the lotto and all that kind of stuff. It's gone before they know it because they have never learned how to take care of anything. Mm-hmm. And we talked, I know, a long time ago about all the housing projects and so forth that they build and they give them to the poor people, and in no time flat they look exactly, they're ruined because they never have taught those people the benefit of owning property, you know. They have no pride in ownership. So... and how that is accomplished. It's not accomplished through social workers. I can assure you of that. Did you ever see social workers? They don't, you know. They help. I'm not saying that, but it's such a small band-aid.
They used to have clients, a client list, and they had to visit their homes.
And they had to, well, I don't know if they do that anymore.
I don't think they do.
Because they don't have the money to do that. But anyway, the other thing to remember, there's tons of programs out there that people don't take advantage of. There's tons of money out there if you go searching for it. You know?
So, when we identify ourselves as being having negative thoughts or being negative, how do we best? I mean, it's one thing to say like it's like just have a flash of negative thought, but when you find yourself in a habitual negative way of thinking, how can we unentrench ourselves from that?
Well, first of all, you have to realize that they are just thoughts. They have nothing to do with you whatsoever. But you think they do, so you buy into it and you listen to those thoughts. And you say, oh, well, if I'm thinking that, it must be true. It's not true in the least. The mind is very convincing.
So, if we're being open is very important in metaphysics.
Yes.
Being open-minded, being open to other people, being open to receiving things. Is there something we can do to become more open?
Just keep trying it. Just keep trying. Heaven, trying to find heaven or peace of mind, one and the same thing. You have to get rid of all those thoughts that negate anything. When you wear, oh, well, I'm not going to, you know, look at those. Now you could, oh, look at the Muslims. Look what they're doing. You can't do that. You have to correct it right away. God's with them also.
But be a witness to your own.
You have to be a witness. You have to become a witness to your own thinking. And when it all gets to where, how would I say it? Where nothing ruffles your feathers, so let's say. Now you're nearing heaven. But we allow things to ruffle us, don't we? We make decisions. We say, oh, no, well, that can't be right. But it is.
When we pray to God,
yes,
are asking questions a useful or effective form of prayer?
Well, I never do that. I always do affirmative prayer. Absolutely affirmative. Now, am I talking to God or am I talking to myself? Am I talking to the universe? I don't care. It works, you know. Somebody's listening or something's listening somewhere.
But if we feel like we don't know the answer to something, or
you
like,
can ask. Okay. Please help me with this.
Based on what?
That the mind of God knows everything. And then be prepared to hear the answer. Could come from a song, it could come from a book, it can come from any direction whatsoever. Most people don't hear it because they think God's really going to come down and say, now, dearie, here's what I want. God is not going to do that. You must say to yourself, dearie, this is what I want. You have to keep coming back to the idea that you are the thing itself. Very difficult for people. You are the thing itself.
What's that mean?
Sorry. You're God.
You are God. You are God. Sometimes we feel a little shut down by the world, like we get what we believe we get, and at some point we maybe are not getting something because we've come to believe that we're not going to get that. Is risk useful in, like, does that keep us where we are, or does that move us forward?
Well, all life is a risk. So it depends. Is it going to move you forward? Is it going to move you back somewhere? You know. But you have to remember, I am one with God.
Along those lines, if we have a story, something we believe because it's become our story.
Mm-hmm. Your whole life is a story, by the way.
Right, but what's the most effective way of changing that story? Like, so that the story is the one you want versus the one you've sort of matriculated into.
Well, sit down, meditate, know that your book is in front of you. This is the book of Andy. Look through that book, and the pages that say something that you don't want, rip them out. You just rip them out, that's all.
Rip them out. Yeah. That's good, I like that.
Yeah, yes. Remember we said earlier, it's very simple, this teaching. Just rip the damn thing out. Nothing there, Scott. I see that mind of yours churning away.
This might be off topic, but
it doesn't matter.
But lately I've been having like deja vu.
Oh, yes.
The last 2 years, and you know, where I've had like a dream or whatever, and then that makes no sense. Like, why would I be here and why would I do that? And then all of a sudden, a year later, I'm like, I'm experiencing this. Hmm. And it's nothing dramatic either. It's just like a normal everyday thing.
Yes.
What do you think that is?
Well, everything is already done.
Right.
And you tapped into what was already done.
But why? I mean, why at that time?
I don't know why that happens. I used to have lots of deja vu moments. I don't have them anymore. I mean, not as many, not as frequently. But when I was a child, oh my God, I had them all the time. I could tell what people were going to do. Because I saw them do it before, you know. So, that's another one of those wonderful mysteries. But thank God your mind does that to you. Now you can see how big mind is. I think Ernest Holmes says it's like walking down a corridor in a museum or something, and all the pictures are there. Yeah. So you looked at it.
There's a saying which in the Bible, which is, above all else, get understanding.
That's Paul. Okay. Paul said that. In all you're getting, get understanding.
What does that mean?
Understand yourself, understand what God is, understand what the whole, what your life is all about. Most people get money, they get everything else, but they have no understanding whatsoever.
And what's the most effective way to get understanding?
Tell yourself you're getting it.
Does that understanding come from the still small voice, or does it come from other sources?
It'll come from all kinds of ways.
And what can we expect of the still small voice?
The truth.
What does the word will mean?
Well, if you're talking about like the will of God,
I sort of want to know all the ramifications of will. I mean, the will of God, our will.
Yeah. Well, let's get rid of the idea of the will of God. The will of God for you is good and only good. It's not to be a lawyer or an actor or anything, which people think, oh, the will of God is doing that. No. You have free will. And you use your free will. What do I want in my life?
And then to extend that forward, can we will something into being? Can we will something to happen?
Yes. I'll probably get killed for saying that. Remember, I like the word conjure. I'm always conjuring something up, but that's will.
Okay.
We have willpower, and we will things into our life. though, the trick is to will the right thing into your life. You learned a lot from Abraham, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Abraham is not Abraham in the Bible. Abraham Hicks is his name. He's dead, isn't he?
So she, I mean, the Esther Hicks is a channeler, and she channels a voice.
She's still alive?
Yeah, she's still
alive. But her husband died or something?
Her husband died, yes.
Okay, I knew somebody died in that group.
Who is Abraham?
A disembodied entity that speaks through the woman.
Oh.
Like Lazarus. You've heard that word, Lazarus. Well, that's an, he's been around almost 40 years, I suppose, by now. The man who does it, is his name is Jack Purcell, I believe. And somehow he tapped in to something in the universe. What, I don't know. Is there such a thing? I have no idea. But I do know what he says is good. You read everything. Esther's work is, she says everything that's metaphysical. So... some, I think there are many metaphysicians and many religious science churches do not believe in channeling. They don't believe in it. Do I? Well, it's not that I do or don't. It exists. I used to go to Lazarus lectures and seminars and so forth because my friend Beverly, who is now 91, and still alive, she used to take me because she was a Lazarus person. It's all good. Find truth everywhere. It's a fine thing, but it's everywhere. And the what isn't everywhere, and the main thing out there, the world. You cannot listen to the world. It's just nothing but chatter. Nothing but absolute chatter. It will never make you feel good, you know. It's like, look at all those commercials that they have on television telling, you know, find happiness in a Coca-Cola. You can't find happiness in Coca-Cola, for God's sake. But people believe that. They believe that. So. You're all doing well, I think. I think you're all getting this, and it's slow. I don't know if it's correct or not, and I don't know who are the better metaphysicians and who aren't. I'm not into any of that. I don't like competition. You see. And there's no competition in the mind of God. Do you know why?
Because there's no separation.
Because there's no separation.
Because there's only God.
There's only God. God does not compete against itself. Only we, as people, do that and think we're doing a good job. So that's the way that one works. But you're doing fine, Andy. This is what I want you people, and Scott and John, you're all doing well. And I think you know more than you think you know. You know, and we're all, but because people, we're told we need it, one more step, one more this, one more, oh God, you don't need a thing. You're here, right here and right now, you're whole and complete and perfect, and that's all you need to know. And with sickness and all, you have to remind yourself every day, Paula is whole, complete and perfect. There may be something going on that doesn't pertain to you. Do you remember my little saying, which I haven't used in a long time, I just love it, the dish is never dirty? The dish is never dirty. There may be dirt on the dish, but the dish is never dirty. At the present moment, there's something on you, but you're whole and complete and perfect. So the dish is never dirty. I love that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, the dish is never dirty. And it's wonderful, and so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you.